The scriptures, as we know, give us great wisdom for how to live as disciples of Christ. And all week we have been reflecting on the passage that we heard on Sunday, where Jesus said, anyone who wants to be my disciple has to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow in my footsteps. The challenge, the cost of being a disciple. In today's first reading, we have, and in the psalm, the instruction about the importance of being not full of ourselves, but empty, poor in spirit. I would like to focus, though, on today's gospel. Jesus is traveling around, preaching, proclaiming the kingdom of God. And with him are the 12. That's no surprise, because every rabbi had his followers. The surprise in this gospel is that there are also many women who are accompanying him in his apostolic mission. Three of them are mentioned by name: Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, and Susanna. But it says there are many others who provided for them out of their resources. This is a unique passage in the Gospels. It gives us a glimpse into the life of the community of the disciples, especially the presence of women among them. So we wish St. Luke had given us more details about how this actually worked, because imagine an itinerant band of disciples, of men and women. Certainly it was not the usual. In fact, it was revolutionary, downright scandalous, to have men and women traveling together like that. But that's how it was done. And it shows us that Jesus was not conforming to the cultural demands or the expectations of the society of the time. He did what the Father told him to do. If he was the opposite of a conformist, he was kind of a revolutionary in the spiritual sense. Whenever we reflect on Jesus' relationship with women, we see the special concern, the special attention that he gives to women. He doesn't do what the people of his time did, and people in many ages do, that is to put women in a kind of second-class status. He treats women with dignity, with respect, as equals. And among his disciples, the men and the women are equal disciples. But they're not all the same. 12 of them are apostles, and the apostles are all men. He didn't choose any women to be apostles. This is the basis for the church's practice of not ordaining women as priests and bishops, because Jesus didn't establish that from the beginning. Now, this becomes, once we get into this topic, becomes a controversy in modern times, as if the church is somehow discriminating against women. Well, if you want to charge the church with discrimination, you have to charge Jesus with discrimination. It's a ridiculous charge. Jesus does not discriminate, but he does distinguish. Why? Because men and women are not the same, as everybody knows. Everybody knows that. Fathers and mothers are not the same. To demand that women be priests would be like demanding that men be mothers. Since this is the year of Saint Joseph, I took this little reflection. Does Joseph complain to God that he's not the mother of God? It's kind of silly. Joseph never asked God once why he wasn't chosen to be the mother of God, even though Mary, his wife, had a much higher position in the plan of God and in the Holy Family than he himself did. Mary didn't complain about not being the head of the family. Joseph didn't complain about not being the mother of God, because everyone has a different role. The best thing to do is not demand or complain, the best thing to do is submit ourselves to the will of God. Because it's in God's will that we find our fulfillment, our peace, our happiness, our holiness. Now, in light of this, I have to mention one thing that has become a big problem in modern times. There are people now who are not simply demanding that women can serve in roles reserved to men, or that men can serve in roles reserved for women. That can be worked out, and the society has to keep going. But the problem now is that there are people who are saying women can be men and men can be women. The whole transgender ideology, what Pope Francis calls the transgender ideology. This is a different thing altogether. This is not development of culture or society or a deeper understanding of human nature. This is a rejection of human nature and a rejection of the plan of God for men and women. We are created male and female from the beginning. God made us male and female. We do not decide that for ourselves. God decides it. So when a person, for whatever reason, thinks he is or she is a different gender than God made him, that's a cross. It's not the truth. When a man says, I am a woman, even though he sincerely might believe that, our job is to help him come to understand the truth so that he can live in the way that God created him to live. Same for a woman who thinks that she's a man. We're not blaming her for thinking that, but it's not true. And if we're outside the truth, we can't be in the will of God. So our task is to discover the will of God and unite ourselves with God, never to stand against God. We can never make progress, individually or as a society, if we are standing against God. God made us male and female. It's part of the beauty of creation. In fact, when God made the human family male and female, he said, this is very good. One last thought about this. You might not have heard of this saint that is honored today, Saint Hildegard of Bingen, one of the newest feast days in the church. Today is her feast day. In fact, Pope Francis just declared this feast and put it on the calendar just this year. Hildegard of Bingen is a German woman of the 12th century. Pope Benedict XVI named her as a doctor of the church. She's an extraordinary woman, a genius, a philosopher, a mystic, a composer of music, a visionary. And boy, if you look her up, you'll find she's just about everything. But she never complained about not being a priest. She never complained about not being a man or having a man's role. What she did was put herself at the service of the kingdom of God, St. Hildegard of Bingen. Look her up, you'll really be inspired by someone who knew what it meant to be gifted and to dedicate her gifts to the kingdom of God. This is what we hear at the end of today's gospel. These women, many of them, they provided for them out of their resources. We usually think of that as being money, benefactors. I'm sure that's partly true. But what we have to give to the kingdom is not just our money, but ourselves. Who we are, what we are. If we're complaining about what we don't have or who we're not going to be able to provide for the church out of our resources. Let's accept who we are, whom God has made, and then dedicate that person, who we are, to the kingdom. That's how we'll find our happiness and our holiness. Mm-hmm.